Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Creation of the Fourth Order. Chapter 19, entitled King Prithu's 100 Horse Sacrifices, text 36. Please repeat. Tibi Indra Pasam Shishtai. Word for word, please repeat. Abhihi. By these. Indra upasamshristai. Created by the King in Heaven, Indra. Pakandai. Sinful activities. Haribihi. Very attractive to the heart. Janam. The people in general. Viyamana. Being carried away. Vichakshva. Just see. Enam. These. Yaha. One who. Te. Your. Yagyadruk. Creating a disturbance in the performance of the sacrifice. Ashvamut, who stole the horse. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Just see how Indra, the King of Heaven, was creating a disturbance in the midst of the sacrifices by stealing the sacrificial horse. These attractive, sinful activities he has introduced will be carried out by the people in general. Purport. As it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 21, Yad yad acharati shrestas tat tat ivataro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokastar anuvatate. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow in his footsteps. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. For his own sense gratification, King Indra thought to defeat Maharaj Prithu in the performance of 100 horse sacrifices. Consequently, he stole the horse and hid himself amid so many irreligious personalities, taking on the false guise of a sannyasi. Such activities are attractive to the people in general, therefore they are dangerous. Lord Brahma thought that instead of allowing Indra to further introduce such irreligious systems, it would be better to stop the sacrifice. A similar stance was taken by Lord Buddha. When people were overly engrossed in the animal sacrifices recommended by Vedic instructions, Lord Buddha had to introduce the religion of non-violence by contradicting the Vedic sacrificial instructions. Actually, in the sacrifices, the slaughtered animals were given a new life, but people without such powers were taking advantage of such Vedic rituals and unnecessarily killing poor animals. Therefore, Lord Buddha had to deny the authority of the Vedas for the time being. One should not perform sacrifices that will induce reversed orders. It is better to stop such sacrifices. As we have repeatedly explained, Due to a lack of qualified brahminical priests in Kali Yuga, it is not possible to perform the ritualistic ceremonies recommended in the Vedas. Consequently, the Shastras instruct us to perform the Sankirtan Yajna. By the Sankirtan Yajna sacrifice, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his form of Lord Chaitanya, will be satisfied and worshipped. The entire purpose of performing sacrifices is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Lord Vishnu, or Lord Krishna, is present in his form of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, people who are intelligent should try to satisfy him by performing Sankirtan Yajna. This is the easiest way to satisfy Lord Vishnu in this age. People should take advantage of the injunctions in different shastras concerning sacrifices in this age and not create unnecessary disturbances during the sinful age of Kali. In Kali Yuga, men all over the world are very expert in opening slaughterhouses for killing animals, which they eat. If the old ritualistic ceremonies were observed, people would be encouraged to kill more and more animals. In Calcutta, there are many butcher shops which keep a deity of the goddess Kali, and animal eaters think it proper to purchase animal flesh from such shops in hope that they are eating the remnants of food offered to goddess Kali. They do not know that goddess Kali never accepts non-vegetarian food because she is the chaste wife of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is also a great Vaishnava and never eats non-vegetarian food, and the goddess Kali accepts the remnants of food left by Lord Shiva. Therefore, there is no possibility of her eating flesh or fish. Such offerings are accepted by the associates of goddess Kali, known as Bhutas, Pishachas, and Rakshasas. And those who take the prasad of goddess Kali in the shape of flesh or fish are not actually taking the prasad left by goddess Kali, but the food left by the Bhutas and Pishachas. Om Gyanatam Rangasya Ganajana Shalakaya Chakshunam Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Just see how Indra, the King of Heaven, was creating a disturbance in the midst of the sacrifice by stealing the sacrificial horse. These attractive sinful activities he has introduced will be carried out by the people in general. So Prabhupada, in the beginning of the purport, gives the epitomal verse that talks about example. And of course, this is Krishna himself speaking in the Bhagavad Gita, Yad Yad Acharati Shrestas Tat Tat Evatarojana, that whatever acts man performs, he sets standards. Whatever examples he sets, the whole world pursues. These acts by Lord Indra are setting a precedent for future, as we're hearing, for future activities, sinful activities that are attractive to those who want to deviate. We hear many instances in history of this, and one famous example, of course, is Ravan coming to steal Sita. He dressed as a sannyasi, as a Mayavadi sannyasi, and disguised himself to trick Sita into coming with him, and begging food and of course imploring on the good-natured, cultured, transcendental vision and mood of Sita to give to a wandering mendicant. Now, so how it is that Ravan was doing like this, we see so many examples. And Krishna himself is saying in the Bhagavad Gita that this is important, that one sets good examples. And he himself had to be a good example too. Because after this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if utsideyo ime loka, that if I wasn't to follow the regulative principles, if I wasn't to be a good example, because I'm such a famous person, I'm known the world over, I'm known the universe over, that if I was to do something irreligious or incomplete or incorrect, then so many people will follow my path. And a very, very important pastime in this connection that Krishna himself sets good standards is the Shamantaka jewel. How it was that, if you all know the story, I'm sure all of you do, that, of course, the Shamantaka jewel was brought into the city by Surasane, and he was, you know, flaunting it. He was getting so much gold from it per day. He was worshipping the jewel. And then, of course, his brother Prasena takes the jewel. He goes out into the forest. He's killed by a tiger. No, is it a lion or a tiger? Lion. And it's taken. And then, of course, then Jambavan fights with the lion and he takes the jewel. Now, as you know, rumors spread that Krishna killed Prasena to get that jewel because they knew some background of where this jewel comes from and that he was implicated in the death of Prasena. But Krishna, he had to clear his name. And this is the very reason why, even though this event happened over 5,000 years ago, that if rumor spread that he himself was taking the jewel and killing people, then obviously that would set the precedence for those who follow any kind of religion and understand that that the worship of Krishna is the highest, he's the purest. If this person who's the most pure is doing activities like this, then logic follows that it must be right for us. So he, as you know how the story goes, he takes a whole lot of residents from the kingdom and they go and look for the jewel, and then they finally find where they can see the evidence leading to this cave, and this is a cave, of course, where Krishna enters and he says, you know, stay here, I'll be back, I'll go and I'll find the jewel and we'll, you know, we'll reveal the truth. So as legend has it, then he finds Jambavan and they fight and he recovers the jewel and he returns it to the city, and then, as you know, the dialogue that happens there. But anyway, point is that he cleared his name, and that is important even for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do, because it's going to set a bad example for future generations. Now, we're also talking here about, of course, Lord Brahma is giving Indra and Prithu. He's mediating between the two. You're performing sacrifices, but this sacrifice isn't being performed for the proper result. Isn't being performed in the proper mentality. That your Prithu Maharaj, you're wanting to, you know, do this sacrifice to achieve a certain position. Lord Indra doesn't want him to have the position, so he's disguising himself and he's performing these activities. And that the worship of the Supreme Person actually is the ultimate sacrifice. That's the ultimate yajna. That you're worshipping demigods, you're worshipping other personalities other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So you should stop this sacrifice because you're making Indra do these activities that are going to, as we've said, have future generations perform sinful activities. So stop the sacrifice altogether. Now, the worship of Krishna, the worship of Vishnu, as we hear Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, yajna, basically says in the third chapter that the worship of Vishnu, that's the ultimate type of sacrifice, because this will release you from bondage. And Shukadev Goswami, he reiterates this to Maharaj Parikit in the sixth canto by saying, Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu Jangan Mangalamam Hasan Mahatam Apikoravya Vijay Kantika Nishkritam, that he says that this that the worship and the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is able to uproot even the deepest rooted sins, and that this activity is the most auspicious, this glorification of the Lord is the most auspicious Jangan Mangalam in the universe, in all places, in all times, that the glorification of the Supreme Lord is the most important activity. Please understand this, Maharaj Parikit, because then others will take it seriously. So there is also an instruction from his spiritual master that the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's the highest worship. And that's actually auspicious for the whole entire universe, because it's the most pure. And it's the most auspicious. Mangalam. Of course, we chant Gurvashtakam in the mornings, and this is Mangal Aarti, the most auspicious Aarti of the day. So that word Mangalam is there in that verse. So he's imploring Maharaj Parikit to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the highest worship. And it's worship, it's in the mode of transcendence. It's different from the mode of passion, the mode of goodness, and the mode of ignorance. Devahuti asks Kapila Deva in the third canto, is doing devotional service, can it be done in the different modes, or is devotional service just on the pure transcendental platform? And Kapila Deva answers, so he says yes. That devotional service can be done in the mode of ignorance. And the qualities, the characteristics of doing devotional service in the mode of ignorance are, I want to get you back. I have a motivation. I want to destroy someone else's life in sadhana by doing my service. There's motivation there. Devotional service in the mode of passion is wanting some honor and prestige, and that my devotional service is the best. And, you know, wanting some remuneration, which we're getting some hints of here by Indra's activities. And devotional service in the mode of goodness is, it has to be done. I will do it. And I want purification. This devotional service will give purification. There's still some slight motivation there, but at least it's further along from ignorance and passion. But transcendental devotional service, as Kapila Dev explains, and he gives the example of the Ganga in the rainy season, flowing to the sea. You don't have to think about it. All your thoughts flow to Krishna. You don't have to think about, am I remembering Krishna or not? Is my heart going to Krishna or not? Am I doing devotional service in the right mentality and mood? And transcendental devotional service naturally flows to the lotus feet of Krishna. So Kapila Dev gives that example and explaining what the difference between service in the modes and transcendental devotional service. So Krishna is the supreme pure person, and that's the highest worship of Krishna, which of course endows, amongst many things, bliss and knowledge, is purity. He's the purest person, and it's the purest worship. And Rupa Goswami, he's quoted in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita. There's a conversation going on between Maitreya Muni and Parashara Muni, and they're discussing how it is, because the question was raised, how is it that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the purest? How is it that he awards purity? What is it about him? What are the characteristics? Because we doubt that when he comes in his incarnations, we doubt that he can award purity. And this conversation is going on in Bhagavatamrita, discusses Krishna's different incarnations in dealing with the demons. As you know, the four Kumaras, they try to enter Vaikuntha. And this starts all the way, I mean, this takes like three cantos to discuss this pastime, that the Kumaras, they try to enter Vaikuntha, and Jaya and Vijaya, they stop them, and then, you know, there's a dialogue that goes on there. The Lord himself comes out and apologizes, basically, and says, I'm sorry that you're offended. And at that point, as you know, Jaya and Vijaya are cursed. The curse to come, either three births as demons or seven births as devotees, and they choose three births as demons to get back to Vaikuntha sooner than later. And it's interesting because they pray at that point, they pray that may we always remember the lotus feet of our Vaikunthanath, of our Lord. May we always remember Krishna, no matter which birth we're in, no matter how deep we get into the material energy, and no matter how affected that we are, please allow me to always remember Krishna. Interesting prayer that they, at that point. So, and it's not, and a side point here is, Jaya and Vijaya coming as these great demons isn't always the case. It is in this version of Srimad Bhagavatam, but it's not always the case. Krishna's pastimes are eternal. The demons that he fights, they appear in the different millenniums that he fights, but they're not always incarnations of Jaya and Vijaya. But in this case, they are. So, to refresh and recap about what the question is that Rupa Goswami is dealing with, and that what Maitreya and Parashara are discussing in Bhagavatamrita, is why is Krishna the purest? Okay, so giving this pastime as an example, that Jai, he's the one that comes as Hiranyakashipu, and it's Vijaya that comes as Hiranyaksha. And of course, as you know, Varahadev kills Hiranyaksha, and Lord Nrisimhadev kills Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, he's our original acharya of hedonism and materialism. He's, isn't it? Hiranyakashipu Uvacha, materialism is the way. And as you know, the demons in Vrindavan, there's reasons for their killing and how they represent different anattas and so on and so forth. But Hiranyakashipu, he represents the original hedonism, the original material enjoyment. So Nrisimhadev, he kills Hiranyakashipu, but Hiranyakashipu sees Nrisimhadev as a great creature. He does glorify him. He says, you know, who is this great, huge creature that is I've never seen before? It's half man, half lion. And he glorifies the Lord, actually. But he doesn't understand it as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He asks Prahlad, where is your Vishnu? Where is it? And Prahlad says he's in the pillar. And at that point, you know, the Lord's waving at Prahlad as Hiranyakashipu's asking the question, and he says, is your Lord in this pillar? And he says, yes, because he's waving at him, he's saying hello. And of course then let me see your Lord protect you now, and he breaks, you know, he smashes the pillar, and then the Lord appears. But like I say, he glorifies him, but he doesn't understand him as the Supreme Personality of God. But he does see him, and he does meditate on his form with so many arms and swords and weapons. And of course his nails, isn't it Dalita Hiranyakashipu, rips apart the Lord, you know, Hiranyakashipu. But he's, again, his meditation on the Lord as in this form, he then, Jaya, as you know, if the Lord kills you, that's very auspicious. And like ultimate piety, you get massive amounts of piety. And so who does Jaya come as in the next birth? He comes as Ravan. And Ravan has many arms because he was meditating on the Lord, isn't it? That Sada Tad Bhava Bhavataha, as Krishna says in the 8th chapter, that whatever you meditate on at the time of death, that's what form you'll take. So he gets and so much piety, so much, you know, results of the piety of being killed by the Lord, that he get how powerful and rich is Ravan. Cities of gold, so much power it is, you know, and the austerities he could perform, again, coming from his birth as a Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu performed severe austerities. Ravan was able to do I think he was standing on a mountaintop in severe winds and rain for like 1,000 years on one leg, something along those lines, but very severe austerity. So these past life abilities were manifesting again in this life as Ravan. So anyway, we understand, we've heard the story of Ram Leela. If we had more time, we could go into more details. We have to finish soon because we have to go to the airport. But Ravan gets killed by Ram. But he sees Ram as just a mere mortal human. And it's interesting because when he kills Ravan, he tries to chop off his head. Isn't it so many times, but his head keeps manifesting. They keep popping up again. And you can see that obviously this is futile, and then he has a particular arrow that's empowered by the demigods, and he fires the arrow, and of course it pierces the heart of Ravan, breaks the pot of nectar in there, and then he's finally killed. But Ravan's meditation on Ram was as a human, and he didn't see him as anything greater than that. But interestingly enough, some acharyas say that Ram manifested his Vishnu form, who had forearms. So again, his meditation, Siddhartha Bhava Bhavataha, that he's meditating on the Lord at the time of death. And again, then Jai then takes birth as Indorkalila Shishupal. And he has forearms. He's born with forearms and 3 eyes, Shishupal. And again, massive wealth. So much opulence beyond your recognition and beyond your imagination. He was king of Chedi. Shishupal was very powerful also. So he had these 4 arms, and of course, as the pastime goes, that his parents, they were given the prophecy that whoever's lap that Shishupal sits on, because you're going to have so many people coming and giving their blessings to your son, and whoever's lap that Shishupal sits on, when his arms fall off and his third eye, when the 2 arms fall off and when one of his eyes fall off, that you'll know that that person whose lap that he's sitting on will be the killer of your son in the future. So the mother's kind of freaking out. Who's going to kill my son? So everyone comes to give their blessings and they're putting them on the lap of so many people that are coming to and the mother's wanting to see who's going to kill my son in the future. And of course, Krishna and Balaram, they come to give blessings to Shishupal. And of course, as you know, Shishupal, renowned for, he very much dislikes Krishna. Even before he could say mum and dad, he was saying, I hate Krishna. Anything he'd say was like, it was blaspheming Krishna. You know, his mum, later on in life, the mother would say, where are you going to play? He said, I don't know, but I'm going to go, I want to kill Krishna. And he's, everything that was coming out of his mouth was just total blasphemy of Krishna. So at that point that Krishna has Shishupal on his lap, then the 2 arms fall off and the eyes fall, and then 1 eye in the middle falls off. So then the mother understands that this is the killer of my child. So she begs Krishna, please, please don't kill my son. And then Krishna didn't exactly say no, and he didn't exactly say yes, but he gave an ultimatum. He said, at his 100th offense, then I'll deal with him then. So throughout his life, as you know, then Krishna's given this ultimatum. Then throughout his life, Shishupal is blaspheming Krishna. And it got worse and worse because, as you know, Krishna, he stole Rukmini from, isn't it? She was meant for Shishupal because Rukmi were good friends. Rukmini's brother was good friends with Shishupal. They were allies, and so he wanted to give his sister to Shishupal. But, of course, as you know, the famous stealing of Rukmini outside the temple there. So that makes things worse. He's a total enemy of Krishna, and his meditation on Krishna, and this is the original form of Krishna, manifest 5,000 years ago in Dwarka, and here walking planet Earth. And so Shishupal was giving so much trouble to Krishna and his family, and then of course the Rajasuya sacrifice happens. And at the start of the puja, they have to have Agra Puja, which is to choose the first person to be worshipped. And of course, Krishna is chosen. And Sahadev stands up and gives a soliloquy beyond all other soliloquies of glorifying Krishna, the reason why he should be the first worshipped. And everyone, except for Shishupal and a few of his allies, disagreed. But everyone, it was almost unanimous that everyone in the whole entire stadium were uproar of, yes, you've spoken nicely, you've spoken properly, yes, that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, should be worshipped first. And then this is when Shishupal gets up and has his go. And he's blaspheming Krishna like anything, and you know, and Krishna's saying, be careful now, you're getting close to 100. But that didn't worry him. He just kept going, and he's blaspheming him here, and he's saying, which caste is Krishna in? It's ambiguous as to which caste Krishna is. Is he a Vaishya? Is he a Kshatriya? He doesn't, you know. Of course, the Acharyas explain that Sarasvati was working through him to actually glorify Krishna, because you know his blasphemy of Krishna actually turned out to be glorification of him, because he's Purushottam, he's the highest person. But he was saying he was the lowest of people, he was the lowest of castes, and so on and so forth. There's a few pastimes that Mother Sarasvati does like this, to glorify Krishna through the mouths of demons. But so Shishupal is going on and on and on, and he's getting close to 100. And then just as he, Bhishma Dev, Arjuna, the Pandavas, and other personalities, so many great personalities were present in the sacrifice. They're pulling out their swords, they're pulling out their weapons, they're wanting to kill Shishupal. But Krishna's stopping and says, no, wait, he's almost at 100, I'll take care of him. And so so Shishupal's blaspheming, and then Krishna says, okay, finally, you've gotten to 100 now. Then he pulls out his chakra, Sudarshan chakra, launches it at Shishupal, and at that moment that he sees the chakra, the brightness of the chakra is so attractive that Shishupal is meditating on the chakra, and he's actually glorifying, he actually understands at that point that this person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that he's glorifying Krishna. And then at that point it takes off his head. Now, a technical thing about sacrifices is that you can't contaminate the sacrifice especially with blood. Krishna understands this, and so the Sudarshan chakra, as it goes through his neck, it, because of the heat, it seals up all of the corpuscles and the veins, so no blood contaminates the sacrifice. Not one drop of blood. And the head flew out of the sacrifice completely. So, and he, as you know, and at that point, that Shishupal's soul exits his body, and it's waiting there to enter into Krishna's body. And it enters into Krishna's effulgence, and it's actually there until Krishna finishes his pastimes, and then Krishna takes him back at the end of Krishna's pastimes when he leaves. And, of course, he deals with Dantavakra, which is Shishupal's brother. Shortly after that, because Dantavakra's heard of the killing of his brother, so Krishna kills him too. And he waits, he goes back also. So that's Jaya and Vijaya taken care of. And so this was testimony used by Rupa Goswami in Bhagavatamrita with reference to that this is why the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form is the most pure and is the highest worship and can deal with all personalities, no matter how high or low or how demonic, that they can go back home, back to Godhead by the glorification of and the association of and the killing of from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I better stop there. Grantarashima Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nita Gaur Premanandi. I'd ask for questions, but we have to go to the airport. So any questions I'll direct to Gopa Vindesh over breakfast. But thank you for your association, thank you for your time and your attention. Hare Krishna.